Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Morning. There's a lot to talk about this morning, and got a lot of Montana news, some big Montana news to talk about here as well. But I just cannot help but start with this Las Vegas Cybertruck story. Something just does not seem like it is adding up with this whole deal. I don't know about you guys. It's just something is not adding up with this. And I've seen people like Jim Henson, used to be known as Uncle Jimbo when he had the Black Five blog back in the day. He's a special operations veteran. And I can just tell you some of the other folks that I've been, you know, reading some of their remarks, a lot of people are raising a lot of questions about just this story down in Las Vegas with this, you know, with the Tesla Cybertruck blowing up in front of the Trump Hotel in Vegas. I've been inside that exact hotel. I think we popped in there during Cowboy Christmas, during the National Finals Rodeo one year, just to walk through, just to say we'd been there. And my wife bought a, you know, Trump hat in there and everything. But something is not adding up. Now, there's two different storylines that are coming out here now. You're seeing that the New York Post reporting and Fox News is quoting the New York Post saying that, well, his wife left him. So basically this guy, I shouldn't assume that you guys have all the details on this story yet. I went down the rabbit hole last night, stayed up probably a little too late, woke up even earlier than normal. It's just, I just can't get this story out of my head here. But they're trying to paint this picture that, so here's this guy. It's now been confirmed. He's a Green Beret with the 10th Special Forces Group, and which are just incredible folks if you've ever gotten a chance to meet any of them. And he's basically, I think he was a team sergeant. He was, you know, one of the more senior guys on the Special Forces A team here, based on everything we've seen so far, right, out there. And a lot of these guys are weighing in on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And he just had a newborn baby apparently like 6 months ago. But the New York Post is basically saying, well, you know, his wife left him the day after Christmas, and so maybe that's what the story is here, is that maybe, okay, so his wife left him, and then he freaked out, took his own life. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. Now we're seeing another story coming out. I think this was Nick Sartor who was tweeting about this, and Elon Musk was jumping in on this too. He said, well, wait a minute. If this guy was suicidal and freaking out and going crazy, and that's why he drove the Cybertruck from Colorado Springs, Colorado, all the way to Las Vegas, stopping, I think, at least five or six different times just to charge the Thinkenstein, that's plenty of time to gather your thoughts. And why are there apparently text messages of this guy to an ex-girlfriend where he was saying, hey, man, I'm driving this Cybertruck for the first time. This thing is awesome. I mean, I'll share some of the exact information here in just a few minutes from what I'm compiling via X from these social media sources here. And like I say, Elon Musk even interacting with these people who are sharing this information. So why did he seemingly seem to be in such good spirits, according to some messages that he was having with friends? But then the other storyline is, oh, maybe he was suicidal because his wife was going to leave him. But there's a lot of details to this story that just are not adding up. All right, let's start there right after this here on Friday's Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some areas of light snow and flurry activity around the region today, accumulations of around an inch, up to 2 inches in some areas by this evening. High temperatures stay around 34 in Bozeman to around 20 in the Billings area. For tonight, more snow shower activity. Accumulations generally staying an inch or less. Mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-teens in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. America's egg supply is taking a hit from reported cases of bird flu. The Department of Agriculture says egg production fell off across the country by 4% in November compared to the previous year. The department says the number of egg-laying hens was also down 3%. Fewer eggs also means higher costs at the grocery store. As the Consumer Price Index shows, egg prices rose 8.2% in November from last year. Industry experts say prices will continue to rise in 2025 if bird flu case persists. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says bird flu has caused outbreaks in both poultry and dairy cows in the U.S., with several recent human cases in dairy and poultry workers. The CDC notes the public health risk is low and they continue to watch the situation carefully, working with states to monitor people with animal exposures. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, CJ Papa, Fox News.
As we head into 2025, we ran the numbers. What were our top stories for 2024 based on your page views here in Montana? And I'll tell you what, the numbers are clear. Illegal immigration and the wide open southern border dominating our top 10 lists for our big stories in 2024. I've got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, there was a massive drug bust at a United States Western Canada border crossing. That story and much more, go to MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of special operations veterans weighing in on this story, raising some questions about this here. Now, obviously, a lot of us are biased. I mean, I'll just admit that. Like, hey, as a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan myself as well, you hate to think that this guy deliberately tried to harm people. It's sad enough when service members and veterans and really anybody takes their own life, seemingly takes their own life. But it's even worse to think that one of our own would have tried to harm others. So we had two incidents, one the terrorist attack down in New Orleans on Bourbon Street on early New Year's Day morning. And then I think it was around 7 something in the morning when this Tesla Cybertruck, blew up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And so now everybody's trying to get as many details on all of this. Matt Tardio had a great headline on his tweet yesterday. And I'm not familiar with him, but I believe he is a special operations veteran. Jim Hansen, Uncle Jimbo, used to have the Black Five blog back in the day. You've probably seen him on some of the other, conservative TV outlets over the years, weighing in on, terrorism issues, military, national security issues, et cetera. Anyway, Jim Hansen yesterday says, Matthew Livelsberger, as a terrorist who did the Vegas Cybertruck attack, just does not add up. New baby, just became a team sergeant, the pinnacle in special forces. Absent some major revelation about his life, this smells off. And then later, Jim Hansen said, well, it could be this. And there was this New York Post report saying, well, his wife left him the day after Christmas. So, hey, maybe he freaked out and went crazy. But then now you've got another guy here. I think it was Nick Sartor. Let me see if I've got that one. I haven't organized my stack of stuff here yet in this 6 o'clock hour of the show yet. But I think it was Nick Sartor and then Elon Musk weighing in. Elon Musk asked a very good question. He said, was there any evidence that this guy was suicidal? Now, why do I say that something just sounds off with this whole story? So I don't know if you heard the news report yesterday, but I think it was the Las Vegas police did a press conference about the Cybertruck explosion, and they said that he had a gunshot wound, a fatal gunshot wound. They said allegedly self-inflicted. I don't know if they used the term allegedly or not. I'm going to use the word allegedly. They said he had what seemed to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound before the explosion went off, before the Cybertruck blew up. Now, I had replied to Jim Hansen with that point, And he said, yeah, I mean, he said something that I'd already considered as well, which is, well, the explosives could have been on a time delay or something like that. So maybe he offed himself and then had the time delay so the thing would blow up after that. Who knows, right? Now, the forensic evidence experts should be looking into all of this. Apparently, these Tesla vehicles, especially the Cybertruck, have all sorts of cameras in them because of the technology that's included in these vehicles. Some of the self-assisted driving technology that's in these Teslas, there's a lot of video cameras. So Elon Musk is trying to get authorities, whatever video they can find, to find out what happened on the inside of that Cybertruck. And that could be what gives us some really good insight here. But that was obviously the biggest red flag here, which is okay. So he apparently died of a gunshot wound before the vehicle blew up. So could he have been set up? Could he have been set up? Could he have been targeted? And the reason I pose that question is because we have seen on American soil, with all these folks that have been allowed in this country, in particular in the last 4 years, where special forces operators in particular are being targeted and are being monitored and are being surveilled. And so anyway, that I think that's why I hope that our government is going to do everything they can to explore every single angle of this story here to find out what happened. And if there is a threat, a greater threat level to our American service members on American soil, what are they going to do about it? That's why we need to have this conversation. But anyway, Matt Tardio said, wait before assuming guilt. Matthew Livelsberger is a suspect in the Tesla Vegas bombing at the Trump Hotel. Twice last month, someone pretending to be a Green Beret from my former Operation Detachment Alpha's sister team contacted me and showed extensive knowledge of personal information about the Green Beret they claim to be, who is still on active duty. The person who contacted me claimed to be suicidal, likely in an attempt to get me to SWAT his house with either police or Green Berets to make sure he was okay. This would have given away his location if it was not already known. Matt Livelsberger served on the same ODA and held the same position as the person who was impersonated. A lot is not adding up about this situation in Vegas. Now, that was from Matt Tardio on X yesterday. But there's other things that are not adding up. They're claiming that he shot himself with a Desert Eagle. And now, look, for most of us, you might not think anything of a Desert Eagle, right? You might think, oh, yeah, cool gun. I've seen that in a few movies. Yeah, it's a gun that's typically used in the movies. It's not typically the weapon of choice of most special operators, according to, you know, folks that I've talked with and according to the chatter that you see on here. So the other thing that doesn't add up is like, okay, this guy obviously knew how to craft much more significant explosives than what he pieced together in the back of this Cybertruck. And a Cybertruck is designed to prevent it. It's basically designed to be bulletproof. So if you were trying to harm people, you wouldn't use a Cybertruck as the vehicle to harm people with an explosion from inside the vehicle, if that makes sense. So was he trying to off himself and limit harm to others? Who knows?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Bergen.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The divide between old and new is threatening to drive a wedge through the Democratic coalition. The contest between Virginia Democrat Jerry Connolly and New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to serve as the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee was a microcosm of that skirmish. The 74-year-old Connolly bested the 35-year-old Ocasio-Cortez for the high-profile spot. Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer was rooting for Ocasio-Cortez. Quote, "I hope they put her in there because she symbolizes what the Democrats stand for. She's a socialist," said Comer. "It was a generational choice for Democrats, youth versus experience. Ocasio-Cortez is an icon of the progressive movement. She's one of the highest wanted stars in Congress, albeit sometimes a lightning rod." 53-year-old Minnesota Democrat Angie Craig defeated 79-year-old David Scott for the top spot on the Agriculture Committee. 60-year-old California Democrat Jared Huffman is now the leading Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee after 78-year-old Raul Grijalva of Arizona stepped aside. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, in addition to a farm bill extension through September 30th, the American Relief Act of 2025, recently passed by Congress, contains nearly $10 billion in market relief payments for 20 covered crops. Now, this economic assistance, they say, is intended to help offset part of the economic loss that producers are facing following a decline in crop prices and production costs remaining high. New analysis out from the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute says that the top 10 states were based on estimated payments for corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, sorghum, rice, barley, oats, and peanuts, and shows Texas at number one with $963 million, primarily because it's the largest U.S. cotton producer. Iowa is in second place with $846 million because of strong support for corn and soybean farmers, and Illinois is next at $790 million, followed by Kansas in fourth place at $787 million, and Nebraska at $625 million, rounding out the top five. Meanwhile, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Indiana, and Missouri finish out the top 10.
Planting season is approaching, and the Northern Pulse Growers Association reminds producers to consider making pulses part of their cropping decisions. Why plant pulses? Pulses offer both financial and agronomic benefits. They act as a natural fertilizer, fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil, reducing the need for nitrogen fertilizers, and continue fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil for the following crop. Additionally, pulses have a low carbon footprint, making them a sustainable choice for agriculture. Make pulses part of your crop rotation. Learn more at northernpulse.com.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers, CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers in America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier to attend. Register by January 15th for the best rates. Visit commodityclassic.com. Join us today in Denver, March 2nd through the 5th.
Well, the Bureau of Land Management has finalized their Western Solar Plan to expand the 2012 plan to now include Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming. They say the updated Western Solar Plan identifies more than 31 million acres of public lands across the now 11 Western states as available for utility-scale solar project applications. The BLM believes that only 700,000 of those acres, though, are likely to be developed by 2045 to meet projected demand. Regardless, the Public Lands Council and others submitted robust comments in opposition of the proposed Western Solar Plan expansion and continues to be concerned that the BLM has an acceptable loss threshold for grazing acres or grazing allotments that would be impacted by any new solar development. And finally this morning, according to our friends at AgriPulse, the U.S. will consider whether to restrict drones made with Chinese and Russian parts over national security and espionage concerns. Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security is actually examining the threats posed by our foreign adversaries in drone supply chains and weighing new rules to limit imports. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, I'm pulling up some more of my audio files on my computer right now, but one thing I want to play for you is just the latest official details that we're getting from Fox News Radio, and it might be a bit of a double tap here because we've got the Fox News update coming here in just a second, but the latest on this Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion story. Here we go from Fox News Radio.
Authorities identified the suspect in this case as 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger of Colorado Springs. They say he was a highly decorated Army soldier, most recently a Green Beret, who was on leave from Germany. They believe he was the lone driver of the Tesla Cybertruck exploding Wednesday morning outside of the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. Authorities believe Livelsberger shot himself in the head while in the vehicle before the explosion. Investigators say they found a lot of evidence in the Cybertruck, including a military ID, a passport, multiple guns, and materials they believe were intended to fuel a larger explosion.
Evidence that could have all been planted, by the way. That's all I'm saying here. Yeah, I mean, you guys know me. I'm not one of these overnight radio, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, let's just talk about conspiracies and let's just have some fun with people, overnight radio to get people all whipped. You know, it's entertainment, you know, the overnight conspiracy theory radio shows. And you guys know I'm not one of these guys that runs with every conspiracy theory. I like to be skeptical of everything. I like to be skeptical of everyone, just like we all should be, right, when consuming news and information. But here's the point, is that, okay, what's the story here? Is this a guy who found out his wife was leaving him and then freaked out and went and committed these actions? Or was he set up? Was he targeted? He, you just heard it in that report there. He had a fatal gunshot wound before the vehicle exploded. Now, you could have a time delay so that, yes, that could happen, right? Anybody who has, you know, basic knowledge of IEDs, V-beds, you get it, right? But this is the concept. In fact, Caden, our producer, and I were just talking about it during the last break there. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he could have been murdered. He could have been targeted, murdered, placed inside the Tesla Cybertruck, and then basically you can use the automated technology inside of the Tesla to basically self-drive the Tesla, or it could be hacked into potentially, right, to self-drive the Tesla right in front of the Trump Hotel doors. Now, according to his uncle, this guy was a patriot, loved America, he was a fan of Trump and everything. So if the theory here is that he does it in front of the Trump Hotel with an Elon Musk Tesla Cybertruck to send a political message, well, what would the political message be then? I mean, unless he just knew that it would get attention. That's why there's just so much to this story that is just not adding up. All right, we got a quick few minutes here after the Fox News update. We got a guest joining us at 6:40. Congress, a new Congress is sworn in here later this morning. Let's talk about term limits for members of Congress and new momentum on that front. So coming up here in just a few minutes, let's sneak in a quick phone call. We've got Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talk family, and a happy new year again. My thoughts, first I want to congratulate Tim Sheehy for a remarkable job of winning a Montana Senate seat. Of course, like you said, there's going to be a confirmation the day of a new Congress and the Senate, and I couldn't be happier, and I feel very, very secure because of this, and I feel very privileged to have a man like Tim Sheehy represent me. And
yeah,
what I think see here is, of course, we're all seeing the effects of that open border, the Biden open border. And I fear that we're going to have more jihadist, Islamic jihadist attacks. I believe that's what happened in New Orleans. The one there in Las Vegas, like you said, is a mystery. It's just a darn shame what happened. And but we're going to see more of this, so we're going to have to amplify the positive in order to get through this first year in the Trump administration. It's going to be very trying and very dangerous at times. But other than that, and where is our president? He's got a monument. He's unveiling a new monument in the state of California when we have jihad, jihadist attacks going on in the country.
And so he's given medals. He's given medals to Liz Cheney. Yeah. I mean, for Pete's sake, like, really, there's nobody else who was deserving of that medal, but you're going to give it to this, you know, this the woman who basically destroyed evidence and was part of this Soviet-style show trial. Give me a break. It's just pathetic, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible. And she's going to pay someday. I'm hoping that the Trump administration is going to go after her. She should not get away with what she has so far. She is just a horrible woman. I remember when years ago when she started to get up on the political front, she seemed to be an okay woman then. But I don't know. There's people, the evil in Washington, D.C., the deep state sure got to her, didn't they?
That's right. That's right. I saw even Wyoming Senator John Barrasso is slamming Joe Biden for giving Liz Cheney the second highest civilian honor. The Presidential Citizens Medal is what he gave her. Cowboy State Daily has this story. He says President Biden was either going to pardon Liz Cheney or give her an award. She doesn't deserve either. She represents partisanship and divisiveness, not Wyoming. That's what Wyoming Senator John Barrasso had to say, which is pretty bold because, you know, typically a U.S. senator from the state of Wyoming, they may not like what Liz Cheney's been doing or doing, but typically they'll hold their fire and they'll stay pretty diplomatic. Nope, the gloves are off now because what she tried to do to this country, what she did do to this country and her horrific divisiveness. All right, Nancy, thanks for the call. We're going to talk congressional term limits and more coming up here right after this here on this Freedom Friday of Montana Talks. So stand by with us. And then should have more time to take more of your phone calls here. Well, coming up at the 7 o'clock hour for sure.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, one more quick thing on Liz Cheney and Joe Biden giving her this presidential whatever award. That's what I'm going to call it because of the way he has disgraced this medal. Molly Hemingway with The Federalist said, President Biden rewards Liz Cheney for her witness tampering and obstruction of justice in the J6 show trial she ran, discrediting to everyone. And I said, yeah, my AAU wrestling tournament ribbons from 1988 in eastern Montana have more value than this joke of an award for Liz Cheney. Anyway, all right, let's put a ribbon on that one and move on to the next topic here. Look, I think we can all agree. Or if there's somebody who actually disagrees, message us on the app. I'd love to hear if and why you disagree with us. Don't you think we need to have term limits, congressional term limits for senators, term limits for members of the House of Representatives? I mean, look at these dinosaurs in the United States Senate in particular, whether it's Mitch McConnell on the, well, not really on the right, but at least he has an R behind his name, or remember what happened to Dianne Feinstein. And then there was this Texas congresswoman. She was missing for 6 months. Apparently she was in like some memory care facility down in Texas, but she was still supposedly serving as a member of Congress. It's like, what in the world? Anyway, I think we can all agree we need term limits. We've got former Pennsylvania state senator and Pennsylvania state co-chair of U.S. Term Limits, John Eichelberger, on the phone lines with us right now. John, thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Why D.C. cannot ignore term limits anymore. It seems like there's some real momentum, not just, you know, with, you know, the political crowd, but an overwhelming majority of Americans say, yes, let's have term limits for Congress.
Yeah, it's, you know, the polling numbers have hovered around 82% for a long time, and now they're up to 87. And I think it's people seeing the physical and mental breakdown of some of the long-term people that have been there, including Joe Biden. But Mitch McConnell, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, you know, there's others. But it's a problem. And then, you know, they don't look a little deeper, most people. They see that. But there's a lot of intrinsic problems with how the system's structured, with seniority. with the influence, the lobbyists, all the money that's involved these days, it's concentrating power and it's isolating people. Just like this Kay Granger down in Texas that's been missing for 6 months, these people can be pretty isolated and detached from their own communities because they're away a lot. People don't know. They have busy schedules. They didn't attend this event, or somebody hasn't seen them recently. You don't think that much of it because they're in Washington or they're doing other things, but sometimes they're just not working and, you don't even realize it. I don't think people knew in Texas this lady was in that facility until very recently.
Well, and she'd been around for so long, so people just thought, you just never think to question it. Whereas with a newer member of Congress, you're going to be more likely to hold their feet to the fire because you're not going to know their name and they just got there. So you're going to be like, hey, where have you been? How come I haven't seen you in Sydney or in Glasgow or whatever? And so whereas these guys that have been there forever, they have so much money and power by that point that nobody, can practically take them on. But, it was interesting. I saw Mitch McConnell when he gave his, closing address to the Senate in the last session before the end of 2024. He said something. I hope I remember it right. He had a line where he said, some people come to Washington to make a point. Some people come to Washington to make a difference. And I responded to that by saying, yeah, and some people have been there so long, they do neither.
Yeah, after a certain point, what do you have to offer? I know people have expertise. They understand how things work better, all those things, and that plays a role. But if it's not a fair playing field for people. I just had a conversation with somebody that was arguing that, the relationships you build are a good thing down there, and everybody should be, if you're there long term, you have these relationships, you can go to departments, you can get things done and so on. I think the opposite way. I think we should have people based on merit. People should be there. They should be contributing. It's the philosophy where somebody's a candy man, that they come back to their district and they have enough seniority that they can get money for highways or bridges or, a new sports stadium or whatever it is. And that's nice for their community, but there's other communities that probably need roads and bridges and other things more than that community does. But that person gets all those goodies because they've been down there for a long time. And the crumbs that their friends get, or they get a little bit of this or that. And the new people, it's very difficult for them to get anything. And wouldn't it be nice if we had a system where we could all do presentations based on merit? People with the federal money would be, doled out based on merit. There'd be things funded that needed to be funded. Other things that are wasteful wouldn't get funded. That would be a much better system. But some people still have that mindset where seniority is a good thing and we need to keep people down there forever so our community will get stuff. And I don't think that's good public policy.
So I know several of the incoming U.S. senators, Dave McCormick of Pennsylvania, Bernie Moreno out of Ohio, and then Tim Sheehy from here in Montana. I've spoken with him about this as well. He supports term limits. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, President Trump, all support term limits. So how do we get it done? How do we get it across the finish line? I know one way to do it is an Article 5 convention. We've had the Convention of States debate a lot here in Montana. So there's some who really like that idea, especially for a balanced budget, maybe for term limits too. And then there's others who are very leery of potentially opening that process up. What do you think? Is it an Article 5 convention? Is it some sort of an amendment? What's the best way to move forward?
Well, practically speaking, here's what has happened in history. What can happen is this. We need to work on a two-pronged approach. We need to keep pushing people in Washington to do the right thing. And we had a vote in Congress this past year. It was very close on a committee, and it went down, but it was very close. We can maybe get that moving further in Washington, but we still need to work with the states. We had three states sign on with resolutions last year. There's a lot of momentum out there with the states. We're going to make a bigger effort this year to get more states involved. What practically will happen is once Congress sees that there's a critical mass out there of states that are interested in this issue, they know that if they don't do something, the states will force it, and they don't like to be forced. So so they will do it at some point.
Is Montana on your list already? Is Montana on your list?
You know, I don't remember if Montana's on there or not.
Yeah.
But
feel free to follow up with us, because I've seen a number of press releases from maybe probably somebody with your organization. Every time a state legislator endorses term limits, I'll get like an email. So I know a number of Montana lawmakers endorse it. And if I'm not mistaken, our own Montana code, our own Montana law already calls for federal term limits. But because they're federal elections, it's unenforceable, obviously. And so that's why something needs to be forced. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. I think 12 states have term limits on their legislators, their state legislators, and 37 states have it on their governors. It's a commonplace thing. It's happening, at different levels. A lot of cities and other, there's a lot of mayors that are term limited, lots of things that are term limited around our country. But Congress is not one. And, Congress was supposed to be one. 1951 is when the president was term limited. And that was following FDR. Harry Truman was president, and people thought, it isn't like they disliked FDR, but they said, this isn't a good idea to have the same person in there for too long. It just doesn't work well. There's possibilities of a lot of bad things happening. And Congress was supposed to be next, and Truman thought Congress was going to be next, and it just never happened.
Yeah,
they dropped the ball after they took care of the president, and they didn't take care of themselves.
The only downside is I would also like to limit our bureaucracy too, because and to keep them in check. But I don't think career politicians have obviously not kept the bureaucracy in check. So you can't say that by having career politicians it helps keep the bureaucracy in check, because the bureaucracy is run completely out of control in Washington D.C. and here in Montana with our legislative term limits. We've got some great younger folks that have stepped into roles and done remarkably well that, hey, if they just had the same old people sitting in those seats for 40 years, when would these new leaders ever have been able to get the opportunity to stand up and lead this state? John Eichelberger, great to have you on the show. How can people get a hold of you if they want to push term limits from Montana?
USTermLimits.org is the website, USTermLimits.org. You can get on there. You can learn about what's happening. Write a check if you'd like to, volunteer, sign a pledge, do all sorts of things. So we appreciate any support we can get, because we have some momentum now, and we just need to keep driving the bus forward.
All right. Well, John, great to have you on the show. I'm glad Pennsylvania, your home state, got the job done in the Senate race, just like we did here in Montana. I served in Iraq with some great Pennsylvania National Guardsmen. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Quick break. We should have the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. I'm not seeing it in my inbox yet. So either we'll have that and play it for you, or, hey, we got a lot more to talk about. Stand by.
Now, here's the morning Sean Hannity update.
We have a constitutional system, as Jonathan Turley points out, that allows for overlapping protections of individuals from abuse of prosecutions. It does not always work as fast as they want. But anyway, he's arguing if you cannot prove the existence of a Trump enemies list, a Biden pardon is the next best thing. And after years of lying about, pardoning his own son, why would and never doing this, why is this now paramount in the minds of the left? And I just, again, don't take what I'm saying to mean or interpret it to mean that I'm supporting it. I'm just telling you that I think that it's likely going to happen.
Join Sean later today right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, ready for a home upgrade without the hassle? Well, give your home a fresh look in 2025 with new custom window treatments thanks to our friends at Blinds.com, where real design experts make the complex. They make it very simple. Now, if you have a complicated project, no problem. Blinds.com, they will make it simple, fast, and easy. Schedule a free professional measure for you as well. Now, think you need a designer to visit your home? You don't. Now, shop from the comfort of your home on your schedule. They'll even send free samples right to your door. There's no question that shopping
Shopping online will save you time and money, and something we could all use a little bit more of, especially with the new year upon us. And since Blinds is so affordable, well, you can change the look of your home for a great price. Blinds.com has covered over 25 plus million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now shop Blinds.com right now. Save up to 40% off on select styles. Plus, you get a free professional measure. Up to 40% off. Limited time. Blinds.com.
Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some areas of light snow and flurry activity around the region today, accumulations of around an inch up to 2 inches in some areas by this evening. High temperatures stay around 34 in Bozeman to around 20 in the Billings area. For tonight, more snow shower activity. Accumulations generally staying an inch or less. Mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-teens in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
As we head into 2025, we ran the numbers. What were our top stories for 2024 based on your page views here in Montana? And I'll tell you what, the numbers are clear. Illegal immigration and the wide open southern border dominating our top 10 list for our big stories in 2024. I've got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, there was a massive drug bust at a United States Western Canada
Avenue, or you can give us a call at 406-252-6969. Montana Harvest, where people get healthy.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see if the legislative update came in. Oh, it is in there. You know what? We'll save that for the 7 o'clock hour. I'll save that one for the 7 o'clock hour. The Great Migration Begins. That's the title of his legislative update from Jeff Laszlofy with the Montana Family Foundation. Now, I think he's talking about the in-migration to Helena, Montana, of all the state legislators and lobbyists and citizens and business groups and more. That's the in-migration he's talking about. What about, speaking of migration into Montana, did you guys see this story? I'm gonna save that one for the 9 o'clock hour, I think. Montana growth slows in 2024. So the in-migration of people moving into Montana, some of you might see this as really good news. The migration of people coming to Montana has slowed down. Like I say, some of you, if you missed that over the holidays, some of you might be like, hey, that's really good news. I can't believe I missed that story over the holidays. That's like a Christmas gift for some of you out there. All right, we got some messages that came in. Let's see. Sean in Shelby. You know, earlier in the hour, I was talking about how there's something about this Las Vegas cyber truck explosion in front of the Trump Hotel that just does not add up. There's a lot that just doesn't seem to be adding up here. Sean in Shelby says, here's something else that doesn't add up. Why do we know so much about these latest lunatics, including that they were both U.S. military personnel, but we still know nothing about the Butler, Pennsylvania assassin? If someone is behind these attacks, they choose our military personnel to create a mistrust. Something Sean said there is another, you know, theory that I think needs to be explored here of why they might target a Green Beret, of why they might, again, this is just a theory, why they might, you know, foreign actors or subversive elements in our own country, why they might have targeted a Green Beret, killed him before the explosion, and then set him up to make it look like he was the one who committed the explosion, is to create more of that mistrust between the people in our military. I think that's a good point that Sean is raising there. Sandy in Billings says, Aaron, now let's think about the bomb attack in Vegas. It happened with a Musk Tesla truck. Musk is Doge. Cut back on the deep state to balance the budget. It happened in front of a Trump hotel. Who is the man in charge? Wanting to balance the budget and shrinking the deep state? Trump. Now you have the deed done by active military operatives. So, Sandy is saying this, maybe it's a big warning to Trump and Musk that the deep state will pull all the strings to stop the Trump-Musk-Doge from doing the Doge program. Sandy says, I think the guy in the truck was ordered to do the deed. To what evil will the deep go to make their point? That was from Sandy in Billings. Sandy, thanks for that message. Yeah, 'cause could it have been a foreign actor that was targeting him? potentially? Could it have been a domestic operative trying to undermine America? That's why, like I say, I think that video from inside the cab of that Tesla could be key here. And more information, of course. All right. Hey, and our producer, Caden, weighing in on the term limits debate, the congressional term limits debate. Caden says this, term limits would fix about 80% of the problems in Congress. Maybe then they'd be more concerned about making the country better instead of worrying about filling their pockets. Amen to that one. It's unfortunate the people who would put these into practice are the same people they work against. Congress will never voluntarily give up that power. Yeah, Caden, I think you're right. I think they will find excuses and, oh, yeah, they'll get a couple of entrenched incumbents to, you know, procedurally block any term limits from getting across the finish line. But that's why, you know, if we the people keep pushing and these states also weigh in, I think we can get it across the finish line. Let's see. Tammy in Kalispell, she also wants to have annual physical and mental tests and maybe a constitutional test as well for people that are in Congress. There are really bright people there who happen to be older. Then there is the guy who thinks Guam will tip over if the population rises. All right, Tammy, thanks for the message. Open phones and more coming up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Bergen.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.